Matthew chapter number 13. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come to your house once again. Lord, I pray that you guide my lips, guide my mind tonight. Lord, this is nothing new for our folks here. I just want to be encouragement to them and a blessing. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand here. I don't take it for granted. And Lord, I pray above all that you be honored and things that I say tonight would bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus was great at telling stories. Jesus liked to tell, and that's what a story is. A parable. A parable is simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus loved to tell stories. And I like to tell, if I'm teaching young people, I think stories are a wonderful way to convey a truth. And you can hold a group of kids in rapt attention as you tell stories. The workers, several workers I've worked with in children's church, it's amazing. You can bring kids from laughing to absolute tears in the same story. But it also conveys an amazing truth. And Jesus was a master. If you think about how many parables Jesus told, he simply was telling a story. He was telling a story that had a biblical truth to it. And in this story, there's a lot of applications, the story of the sower. And tonight I want to look at one of the illustrations that he gave. And it says in verse number 4, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." Now, this is the one we're going to talk about. And the Bible says it had not much earth. Now, there was obviously some there. We went to a place. Brother Josh took us up someplace. I have no clue how to get there, except for he's following Brother Josh. And if you think you can, you probably can't, because everybody else thought they could and couldn't find it either. But we went up on top, and there's these rocks at this one restaurant, and there'd be a little spot of dirt, right? And you've seen it growing out of the side. If you've been in any kind of mountains or anything, there'll be a sheer cliff and a tree growing out of the side of it. Well, what is that? It was a rock, but it found a little bit of dirt there. And so it put its roots down and it started growing. And that's kind of what these did, these plants did. The Bible says, verse number 6, "And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." They had no root. And I started thinking about this, and I was teaching the young people in our teen, the time we spend together as with the teens, I was teaching them about the importance of standing for Christ. And we went to Ephesians chapter 6. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. I think it's Ephesians 3. I'm sorry, 6. I was right the first time. 6. Ephesians 6. I got Ephesians 3 too. We'll go there later. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I referenced this. Brother Young preached a message the other day, and I referenced this. You know, many times we get aggravated with the people, right? We get aggravated with the politicians, or we get aggravated with this person or that person that's causing us problems or causing us heartache or whatever. But in all reality, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against that type of thing. But the Bible says we fight against principalities, verse number 12 here, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting, okay? It's not that person per se. You know what they need? They need Jesus Christ. That is what that Jesus Christ can change them completely, okay? And there's no one that's past that, I believe. I mean, I believe that any person could be saved. Now, are some people's hearts hardened to the point that more than like, you know, I believe that that happened to Pharaoh. You read that in the Bible. Pharaoh's heart just kept getting harder and harder and harder. And at some point, you know, your heart will be so, and the Bible even talks about you will give them a reprobate mind where they won't even consider. Will that happen? Absolutely. But when I got thinking about this, I got thinking, you know, that person that sometimes causes problems or the politicians or the things that we're not happy with as Christians in our life, that's not the true root of the problem. Okay? If you think about the root, and I brought a plant, and I did in our teen thing, I brought a plant. Now, this is just a weed, obviously, ironweed. And so I brought this. Now, if I was to just do this, I mean, that's the plant, right? This is the part that you see. And as somebody that's raising, let's say they're raising hay, okay? My dad, his pasture is pretty much overrun with these, right? All right? This is not good fodder for livestock. This isn't what you want in your pasture, okay? This is a weed. That's what it is. It's just a weed. It's not good forage for your animals. It's a weed. They'll pick around all this to eat the grass, okay? But in all reality, we can go in with a bush hog and we can cut this down, right? I can cut all of it down. But you know what's going to happen? As soon as I cut it down and it gets some rain and it gets some sunshine and it gets what it needs, this never died. And this is what will give it life again. And you know, many times we get irritated, we get mad at the weeds in our life, right? We get mad at those things that we see because this is what's causing us all the grief. This is what's causing the problems in our nation today. You know, not ironweed, but those type of things, okay? That is, and we get mad at those. We want to burn, you know, burn the field, get rid of it. But in all reality, we're not really getting rid of the problem. You know, when you spray a field, yeah, you get rid of this, but you know what that chemical actually does? It goes down here to the root of the problem, and it kills it there. And if it doesn't get all the way to the root, you know, you get big horse weeds, and that plant, the plant itself will absorb that chemical, and it never will get down to the root. And because of that, you give it a little bit of time, and that thing will start greening back up again. Yeah, the leaves will all get burnt, they'll all turn brown, they'll all turn nasty, but then it'll start growing back again. And folks, that root that we have of whatever it could be. Now listen, and I'm laying the foundation here, but that root that of wickedness isn't necessarily, you know, you think about this, it's not the person. And in our own personal lives, look folks, we got to address not just the outward production or the fruit. What's the root of the problem? You know, when a young person has a bad attitude, you know what, to me anyway, and pastors kind of taught me this, a bad attitude in any person, not just a young person, if I have a bad attitude, all right, I'll just use myself. If I have a bad attitude, you know what that bad attitude is? It's the plants. It's what you see. When my countenance is down, sorry, Mrs. Walton. If my countenance is down, if my countenance is sad, that countenance is simply the plant of a rooted problem. Okay? And you see a lot of people that struggle with certain sins. Well, listen, folks, most of the time those sins actually have a root someplace else. And you can get rid of, listen, you can get rid of all of your junk CDs of bad music. You can get rid of all the bad movies in your house. But until you take care of the root of the problem, which is inside, the root that you never see, that wickedness, when given some external nourishment. Okay, let me use it this way. You listen to the wrong kind of music, and you grow up, and you're sneaking around, you listen to the wrong, and I could teach I have 6-7 weeks for the teens on music, and I can teach you about, listen, it's not just the words that are wrong, the music itself is wrong, okay? Music is not amoral, without morals. Amoral means without morals. There's good music and bad music. Do you know we can sing Amazing Grace, and we sing it in English, and Miss Biber can play it, Amazing Grace on the piano, and then we can have a whole bunch of Spanish people get up here, and she can play the same song, and the words are completely different as far as what you hear. But you know what never changes? The music never changes. Okay, you say, well, Brother Chad, I listened to maybe some music I shouldn't listen to, all right? Well, and I got rid of all the CDs. Okay, that's good. But then, have you ever noticed, and a lot of you could attest to this, and I'm not just talking about just music, you go into a store, and they start playing a song, and you know all the words, and before long you start, what? Singing with it. Why? Because, honestly, and there's just some roots, I'm just going to be honest, they're real hard to get rid of. That's the important. You say, Brother Chad, well, how do we get rid of those roots in the young people? Here's the best solution. Never plant the seed. Never plant the seed. If you don't plant the seed, if that ironweed seed never hits the ground, kills me, people like finches. I mean, how many ladies in here like finches, those little yellow birds? Do you know what you feed finches? Thistle seed. That's a traditional finch food, right? That has blown my mind. Why we feed finches thistle seed? Because you know what happens to all that thistle seed? It goes everywhere else via finches. All right? But you know what? If the seed never gets there, you don't have to worry about the root. Because listen, there's some roots. The wrong kind of music is one of them. Listen, pornography, that's a root that you will never probably get rid of. Once you put certain things in your mind, folks, once you put certain songs, certain things, that's a root that you'll never get rid of. And given the right circumstances, given the right climate, if you would, those things will spring back up. Spring back up. So what is this? Brother Chad, where are you going with this? All right, I was talking about the wickedness being a root. And I got thinking, wonder what else is a root? Wonder what else is a root? So this kind of brought me, and this is what we're going to talk about roots tonight. And I'm going to give you three things about roots, and there's a lot of things. But I want to give you three things about good roots, okay? Good roots. And go to Psalms chapter number 1. And then I'm going to finish with telling you about a specific kind of root. Psalms chapter number 1. Excuse my voice. I'm not sick. I promise I'm not. I actually was running a jet ski, and I hit two waves in a row that the second one I did not see coming. And I come down on the handlebar, and I hit my neck on the handlebar. And I think it's bruised, like, my throat, because I can't swallow well, and my voice has changed. So I don't know what happened there, but glad I didn't kill myself. That'd be rough. All right. But I'm not sick, I promise. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, the first thing about roots, I'm just using some Bible verses just as an illustration. Roots give nourishment. You think about, there's a lot of different aspects, and I understand this is not a science class. I understand the leaves and the sun and the rain and photosynthesis, and I understand all that. But you know where a lot of the nourishment of a tree or a plant comes from? Is the roots. It derives a lot of its nutrition from those roots, okay? When a farmer puts fertilizer on, he typically goes in and he puts it where? On the ground. Why? Because that is pretty much the best avenue for that fertilizer to get to the plant, okay? And it goes up through those roots and it gives that plant nourishment. And we see here in Psalms chapter 1, we see this tree. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And everybody's been down to the river. Everybody's seen the big cottonwoods that grow by the river. I mean, massive cottonwoods. And my dad always told me in the farming part, a tree's roots will go at least as far, if they will go farther than the canopy of that tree. So however far that canopy is, you know, wherever the leaves stop on the canopy, there will be roots from that tree as far as that. And you think about that on some trees. That's a pretty impressive span that they're out there. If you drive in a field and you drive along the edge of a field that's got woods and then you've got a field, you'll see big, especially right now, if you went in a bean field, you'll see big brown spots like in the beans. And it'll be like a circle, a semicircle out away from that field. And what is that? It's where those roots of that tree that's in the woods have come all the way out. Can you see them? No. But they've come all the way out under that section of beans, and they're sapping all the nutrients, all the water that would come. It's taking it from that soil. So it kills those beans right there. So what is that? Those roots are providing nourishment. Those roots are providing the nourishment for that tree. Secondly, Proverbs chapter number 12. Go there. Proverbs chapter 12. So roots give nourishment. And I think this is very basic. Roots give nourishment. Secondly, roots give stability. Roots give stability. And I think Proverbs 12 is for the next one. I apologize. But roots give stability. You think about this. We have by my house, if any of you have been to my house, and there's a tree row right there. And there is probably four oak trees. They're white oaks. And they are absolutely huge. They're massive. I bet probably it takes six of us guys putting our arms, no joke, five or six putting our arms together to get around the one tree. They're huge. And you think about, I've thought about this on my way. I was driving back this afternoon. I wonder how many storms, if that tree could sit down and tell a story, how many storms that tree has seen, how many storms that tree has endured. That tree is way older than anyone in our neighborhood, guaranteed, okay? And you think about, you know, everyone has these big things in life that come about. And you know what roots do? The right kind of roots will give stability to a plant. You know, this plant, I picked it from right over here in the corner. This plant's just this year old, okay? Now, it's not real old as far as plants go. But you think about all the wind that this plant has experienced in its life. And it still, until I just pulled it up, was still living. Was still surviving, okay? It was still drawing its nourishment from that ground. Those roots give stability. Thirdly, and this is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "The wicked desireth a net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." What does a root do? What does the roots of a tree help do? A roots of a tree help, or a plant help provide for the fruit. Helps provide for the fruit. Go to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter 11. I know we're using our Bibles a little bit. That's good. Romans chapter 11, look at verse number 16. You know, we say the statement, "By their fruits ye shall," what? "Know them," right? Yeah, that's true. But you know, as much as that is true, if a tree doesn't have good roots, it won't have good fruit. Right? I mean, it stands to reason. A tree has bad roots. A corn plant has bad roots. If it's got root rot, it's not going to produce an ear of corn. Okay? Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse number 16. The Bible said, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert graft in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." I'm gonna preach a message. I'm testing things. I'm in the process of it right now. But I'm gonna preach a message on sometime on being grafted in. The Bible talks about being grafted into Jesus Christ. And that in and of itself is a very interesting topic. Because what are they doing? They're taking a root of a certain plant that they're grafting in. They're making the root part of another plant to give that plant the best possible root. And I'm not going to get into that. I could easily, but what do the roots do? The roots provide for the fruit. Okay, so we've got roots give nourishment, roots give stability, and roots provide for the fruit. Okay, now go back to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. This is where I really want to hopefully bring all this together. I know I've been kind of got two different things going, but back to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Bible says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now this is an amazing statement. This caught me several years ago. Why would Paul the Apostle pray for somebody? If Paul the Apostle was praying for you, what would he pray? So that's basically what he's getting ready to tell us. So look at verse number 15. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." What? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I really encourage you, we don't have time tonight. Take those few verses, maybe tomorrow in your devotions or sometime. Read them slow and just think about them. Because what he is praying there is an amazing thing. I started praying, honestly, for our teenagers. One of the things I pray, I'll name them. And I pray this for them. Why? Because this is huge. This is a big deal. But what does he say here that he wants them to be rooted and grounded in? Look at verse number 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love." Now, over in Ephesians chapter 6, the first part, I was talking about those seeds that you can get in your life, those roots that you can get in your life of wickedness, right? And those things that you're going to fight with if you get those seeds. But what does Paul say here? He says, "I want you rooted and grounded in love." In love. And I got thinking about this, and this is where I really want to bring the crux of the message tonight. Going back to the three things I told you about roots, okay? And I'm going to try to bring this down to basic, just common sense stuff. But roots give nourishment. You know what, honestly, in your marriage, in your relationships of life, in the ministries that we have, you know what brings nourishment, what allows that to grow, is when you have true love. You know, think about this. God is love. God is love. What's the definition of love? God. God is love. Okay? And if I have as my root, the part that you can't really see is love, is the love of God, that will bring a nourishment to that, okay, for my marriage. If I have the love of God in my heart, can you see the love of God necessarily? No, right? You don't see love. Now, I believe that love is an action, okay? Love exemplifies itself. It shows itself best in an action, okay? You can tell somebody you love them all you want, but that doesn't mean you love them, okay? Action, showing them that you love them, that is love. How did God show us that he loved us? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's how God showed that he loved us. All right? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's showing love. But you say, Brother Chad, how do you help your marriage grow? By having true love. All right? That nourishment. You say, Brother Chad, how do you get through the storms of life? Love. It's not a self-help book. It's not just we're just going to try to work things out. No, and what is the definition of love? God is love. And listen, I've illustrated this before. If my wife is following God and honoring God and loving God, and I'm not, we're going in two different directions. Okay? But if I'm loving God and my wife is loving God, and God is love, you know, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't do it, okay? And so if you're loving the same thing, isn't it interesting that you love your kids and you love the same thing? We were fishing yesterday, right? And Brother Nathan and Brother Josh and Pastor and Brother Justin, they went on the fishing boat, all right? Now it's the fishing boat. They got they got all the good tackle. They know the good spots. It's set up for fishing. The boat is. The rest of us, we get on pontoon boats, which are fine for fishing. But you know, trying to navigate a pontoon boat with 10 guys on it, all having a fishing pole, for number one is dangerous. Okay, and so you've got all these guys. You know, you've got a 2-foot area that you're trying to cast a pole in without hooking someone else. And so you're trying, and of course, then everyone's getting it snagged in the trees, so everyone stops and you try to get the boat, you know, whatever it is, over there to however long it is to get their line unsnagged. You know, at some point, you know, I got teenage boys. You know, the first thing they were worried about, who's got the coolers with the food in it? Dead serious. By like 10 o'clock, they were wondering where the other boat was that had the coolers in it, okay? And I thought, okay, well, that's good. And me and Brother Jeff Scales was on this boat. And so we're still fishing and, you know, trying to keep some semblance of fishing. The other guys are lounged back on our pontoon boat and, you know, drinking soda after soda. And so we finally get with the other boat that's got the lunch. And about this time, it's about noon. And, you know, you've got the fishing boat that's, you know, very much dedicated to fishing. And, but, you know, the difference is they're traveling from their perceived good spot to good spot to good spot, catching the exact same amount of fish that we are. And quite honestly, I mean, I enjoy fishing. I really do. But I enjoy catching fish much more than I enjoy fishing. And at some point, my love is not the same as their love. And you know what? Because of that, we went two different directions. And we rented a tube and we're pulling the guys around, trying to see how quick we can yank them off of it. And, you know, we're having a blast. And, you know, I think probably in the back of their minds, they're, you know, I don't know, they may have been irritated because we're making, you know, huge wakes as we're going in circles and rocking their boat. And they're like, why aren't they fishing? We're supposed to be fishing. And it's like, we're not catching nothing. Are you? Well,
Well, you know. Caught one about like that.
Okay. You know. Now, why did we go different ways? Why did we separate? Because we were loving two completely different things. Now listen, you know, if I loved it I was pumped about it and I was, like I said, did I fish? Yes. Did I enjoy it for 45 minutes? Yes. It was fun. It was fun. But at some point, if you love two different things, your heart, you go two different ways. And you know what brings people, you know what brings a church congregation together? It's not me loving you. It's me loving God and you loving God. That's where unity comes from in our church family. Okay, now, does that spill over where our heart goes out to our church family? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not about me loving you or you loving me or anything like that. I think it was Brother Keith Gomez said this, and I really thought about it, and I think it's pretty accurate. He said, you'll leave a church for the same reason you went to that church. At first I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. But the more I thought about it, the more I think it's probably true. You know, if I go because, well, they got this great pastor there, you know the reason I would probably leave the church is because the pastor didn't meet my expectations. Well, they got a really good Christian school. Well, you know the reason I'd probably leave is because it didn't meet my expectations. But if I go because God wants me there, God will always exceed my expectations. Okay? You know what roots do? Roots give that nourishment. Okay? It brings people, it brings a healthiness to something. That's what nourishment, you know, you need nourishment, right? When I was slightly ill earlier, I couldn't taste anything. That was weird, right? And I'm just eating food because of duty. I couldn't taste it. I'm like, this is my favorite meal, and I could not taste it at all. And so you're just eating it. Because you know that if you don't, you're going to get weak, right? But you know what? You know what it is? It's nourishment. You need that. You know what love does? It brings nourishment. You know what love does? It brings stability. It brings stability. You know a family that has love in it is going to be a stable family? It's going to be a stable family. We were out there. It's interesting how you go someplace and you see things and relates to what you're talking about. We're at the marina getting boats and stuff, and you know what brings stability to that marina that's got, you know, 60 boats sitting in it? It's these big winches that they have winched down to the bottom. It's an anchor. You know what essentially what that is? It's a root. You know what brings stability to those things during a storm to keep everything from just blowing away? Those anchors that go down to the bottom. That's what brings stability. You know what brings stability to a marriage? Love. Not just love for each other, but love for God. Okay? That's what brings stability. You know what brings stability to a ministry? Love. Okay? Because when I lose my love, I lose all of my earnestness for it. Okay? I want to say a big thank you to, there's a lot of, and I'm going to miss somebody, I'm not going to start naming a bunch of people, but I mean, there's Sunday school teachers in here that have taught, you taught me when I was in your grade. You know the only way that an oak tree stands for 100 years? It's not because of the leaves that come every year and fall every year. You know that, there's going to be times in your life when everything seems to be good and bushy and great. And then winter comes. And you know what sustains that tree? Where does the sap go? When they said in winter, what do they say about it? The sap's what? Falling. You know what sustains that tree during the winter? What keeps that tree there? The roots. And listen, we're all going to have times of winter, and we're going to have times of summer. We're going to have blessed times, and we're going to have times of, there ain't a whole lot there. But you know what keeps that tree there? That stability? It's those roots. That love. Listen, you know what keeps Miss Darcy in the second grade Sunday school class? Love. Because I'm sure there's weeks that it feels like, all right, I'm done. I am not putting up with these anymore. I was thinking about Miss Nancy the other day. Years and years of 4 and 5 year olds. You know what kept her doing that? She loved, first of all, I believe she loved God. But she loved those little boogers. Me. When I was in there, she loved me. Okay? You know what keeps a bus captain for generations? He loves them. But more importantly, he loves God. Okay? And remember, when I say loves them, God is love. Okay? And all can be traced back to him. You know what keeps a marriage, yeah, you're going to have those times. Like I said, the times of summer, the times of winter, the times of things that are going great and the times that aren't going great. You know what keeps those things rooted and grounded? Love does. And thirdly, roots provide for the fruit. And we saw that. If you go to James, let's go back to James. And this isn't really talking about roots, but James chapter number 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." All right, what is it saying here? Listen, you can't have both, okay? You can't have roots like this and expect to have a corn cob on top of this. Why? Because it's not the root here, okay? And roots are going to provide for the fruit. Roots are going to provide fruit. Say, Brother Chad, my Sunday school class, and there's a lot of things. You know, the youth group. You know, would I love to see more teenagers in there? Absolutely. And sometimes I get frustrated with myself because it's like, well, Brother Chad, you ought to do this or have this or have that. You know what I think a lot of the teens that come just want to have? It's just some love. They don't need a whole lot. But it produces fruit. Love produces fruit. Okay? So roots give nourishment. Roots gives that stability. Roots provide for the fruit. Remember, God is love. And that is who we ultimately ought to love supremely, is God. It's not about, Bible says, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And vice versa. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? That's true both ways. Okay? If I love my wife, you know what I want to do for her? If she sees something that she likes, I want to get it for her. That's what my, and the same thing, you know, how do I show her sometimes I love her? I get something for her. Now, I've been blessed. My wife is, me and Brother Tom have talked about, I don't have a needy wife. And I'm thankful for that. I am. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I still like to every once in a while get her something to spoil her. And I love her. I want to do that for her. Okay? And there's we can go, like I said, we can go into all kinds of different things about roots. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And this is just an illustration. We'll illustrate it. The Bible says, for the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. You think about that. Evil. And go back and as you start tracing it back, where does it come back to? Love of money. don't know. It's interesting. Think about it in the context of what we talked about. All right? In your ministry, and then we'll be done. We'll finish early. In your ministry, do you love the way that Christ would have us love? In your marriage, do you love the way that Christ would have us love? In your relationships, young people, with your mom and dad, okay? Your mom and dad, do you love them the way you ought to love them? Because when you, and I'm not just talking about your mom and dad. Listen, parents, and, you know, I hate saying things about parents because I'm not really, I'm not a parent, but my kids are still in the process of turning out, if that makes sense. I mean, some of you ought to get up here and teach this, not me. But if the young people love God and mom and dad love God, wouldn't that make everything work really smooth together? I mean, it works in every other relationship of life, okay? Young people, you ought to develop a walk with God. It's not just your mom and dad that need a walk with God. You need a walk with God. You need to know how to love God. Not because your mom and dad make you, but because you want to, okay? And you know, you say, Brother Chad, I just don't get along with my mom and dad. Okay, hang on. Probably because you're sitting here on a Wednesday night at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm going to say that your mom and dad probably love God. Or at least are concerned enough to have you here. Okay? You say, Brother Chad, I just don't get along with my mom and dad. What if you just focused on loving God? Just focus on loving God. And I think everything else, it just kind of, when God's the center of anything, when God is the roots, go to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to show you this. We didn't finish reading that, really. When God is the root of everything that we do, I mean, I don't think it's going to produce a bad plant. When God is the root, it's not going to produce a bad ministry. When God is the root, it's not going to produce a bad marriage. Okay? When God is the root, it's not going to produce a bad relationship. Verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brother Chad, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I do too. But you know, I believe one thing that we got to do is we got to have that love of God in our hearts. Okay? You got to have the love of God. All right? I'm not saying you love the sin, but you got to have the love of God in your heart. Okay? I like what it says here, and we'll be done. Verse number 19, kind of ironic if you read this slowly. The Bible says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. What? Which passeth knowledge. You know what? You can know God as much as you, I mean, you can spend your whole life trying to build a relationship with God, and he'll never, ever run out of root. It just keeps going and going and going. And you know what? He'll give you all the nourishment that you need. He'll give you all the stability. You say, Brother Chad, my life is in a storm. All right? You know who can give that back to you? That stability? That what you need? The root. The root. Not the root of wickedness, okay? But the root, the love of God. In our ministries. And you say, Brother Chad, why did you come to this? Because I need this, not because you did. All right? I need this. You know what I get so many times is, you know, I do a ministry for a certain amount of time, and it's easy to start, and you're excited about it, and you got all these ideas, and I plan things, and then it's easy to kind of lose the excitement of it. But you know what keeps Sunday school teachers that have been doing this, you know, Mrs. Walton taught, I don't know how many years, I don't know. She taught down there in the primary church. Years. You know what kept her doing that? It wasn't the paycheck, I guarantee that. Okay? It wasn't. It's because they love something. Something that's bigger than them. okay? They've got a root. And yeah, do the winds blow? Does it rain? Does it storm? Absolutely. We all go through that. Is there winter? Is there summer? Yeah. But it's all about the root. And you know what I find myself is sometimes the sun gets hot and it's like, oh, is this really worth it? But when you have a root that's right, when my heart's right with God, it's not about what the weather is today. It's about what's underneath. All right? Let's all strive. And I know this is kind of an odd, maybe a thing. It's just a challenge. Let's strive to love God properly. And I think it'll spill out to all the other relationships of life. And even loving each other. Loving your family. Loving, I need to love my wife better. I do. I really do. And I want to love God supremely. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, it's just a simple, very, very simple, just a challenge, a thought about the roots. And Lord, Lord, I want to be careful not to have the wrong kind of roots in my life. God, I want to be careful not to plant the wrong kind of seed and allow those things to grow. But God, I also don't want to have the absence of the wrong, but Father, I want to have the presence of that which is right. God, I want to love my wife the way I'd love her because I'm loving you the way I'd love you. I want to love the teenagers the way I'd love them because I'm walking and I'm loving you the way I ought to. And, the Bible Club kids and the bus kids and just all the different things, God, just help me to love you better so I can love them better. And help me to have the right roots in my life and help me to just serve you better. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this study, at least the way it's helped me, God. And pray that you just guide us and direct us. Help the men as they're away. Pray that you'd help them tonight as they're meeting together and just the sweet time that you'd give them. Give them safety. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.